who has played the game, well, she's played it once before, but it was some time ago, that excellent broadcaster and actress, Eleanor Summerfield. Will you please welcome all four of them? Sitting beside me, as usual, is the inventor, the creator of the game, Ian Messiter, who blows a whistle when the 60 seconds is up at the end of the minute and also keeps the score. And once again, I'm going to ask our four panellists to try and speak, if they can, on the subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, or repetition, or deviating from the subject on the card. And on the card in front of me is the subject of getting animated. Well, the obvious person to take that subject and start the show must be Kenneth Williams. Kenneth, you have 60 seconds as usual. Will you tell us something about getting animated starting now?
Well, getting animated can be, of course, somebody in a state of enormous agitation or brio, elan, whatever. But on the other hand, it could refer to Klaus Schnitz's invention, which was that of taking a series of drawings of a human body in so many stages of action and then flicking through the pages very quickly so that it appears to be moving. And this was developed brilliantly, we all know, by Walt Disney. And various characters became famous through animation. I remember being most animated by an evening at the Coliseum Theatre when Tommy Steele chucked a load of itching powder down everybody's back, and we all became so animated.
Eleanor Summerfield has challenged you.
I think you said animated three times.
Yes, but you see, Eleanor, you haven't played the game before. Animated is on the card, and they are allowed to repeat
the
words.
Oh, you can keep
on
doing that. I'm sorry, I beg your pardon.
Not at all. It's nice to hear from you, Eleanor. But when you interrupt, of course, unfortunately, the speaker does get a point for being interrupted. So he gets a point there and keeps the subject. There are 9 seconds left, Kenneth. Getting animated, starting now.
And you must all go and see a wonderful film called Love Me, in which I play all the characters in these beautifully animated figures.
Peter Jones pressed as the buzzer went.
Well, he kept saying all. He said
did
it about
say
four
all
times.
More than once. You needn't emphasize it. He said, all go and see it and all get animated. Yes, and you got him with 1.5 seconds to go, Peter. Oh. And you start now.
I'm just getting animated.
And of course, those of you who know the rules will also know that whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains that all-important extra point. It was Peter Jones who has taken the lead at the end of the round. And Peter, would you take the next round? It is estate agents I have known. In just a minute, starting now.
Well, unfortunately, the laws of libel in this country don't permit me, really, to say anything very interesting about the estate agents I've known. They usually go in pairs, like
Clement Freud has challenged.
Hesitation?
I think you'll be right there, Clement,
well, yes,
and you
yes,
have 47 seconds to tell us something about the estate agents I have known, starting now.
47 seconds is about the right length of time for me to speak about estate agents I have known. There haven't been many, and they haven't been particularly honest.
Eleanor Summerfield is challenged.
Didn't he say they haven't been twice?
They haven't been many, and they haven't been particularly honest. Yeah. Well, listened, Eleanor, so you
oh,
have...
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
The surprise of somebody who hasn't played the game for so long. So, Eleanor, you have a point for a correct challenge, and you take over the subject with 37 seconds left on estate agents I have known, starting now.
I hadn't known many estate agents until about 18 months ago when we decided to sell our house and move to a flat because it was too big for us. So we went to an estate agent who was nearby, and he came to see me in our house. He was a charming young man, most attractive, and we discussed how much we should ask for it, and he said, may he send his other junior estate agents to see me in the morning, which he did the next day at about 11:30.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Repetition of house, quite a long time ago, but...
That is a generous player of the game. She did mention house more than once, but he let her go on for time to give her that confidence that our guest requires. Thank you, Clement, but you've got in very cleverly with 6 seconds to go on a state agents I have known, starting now.
Secluded Cornish cottage to let loo 10 miles is the sort of rotten thing...
So So Clement Royd, then, speaking as the whistlewind, got that extra point, and he's now taken the lead. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject, a good meal. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
It's very odd that people seem to feel that a good meal should consist of many courses rather than one good course. And I'm enormously in favour of something like Irish stew made with best end of lamb, potatoes, leeks, onion, water, salt, pepper, bay leaves, sage, thyme, sorrel, and any other herb that you would like to put into it. If you go to a restaurant, they do tend to say soup, fish, meat, sweet, vegetables of all kinds, all of which are especially charged, like spinach, £2.45, broad beans in cream sauce. Most extortionate demands are made in respect of these sort of accompaniments. We live in a flat up very many stairs in Wimpole Street, and in order to get a good meal, you have to go 91 steps, all of which are carpeted, matted, with rods.
And Kenneth Williams,
Chuck. What deviation. We're on this subject of his house and how many carpets and stairs it's got, and I don't think that constitutes a good meal. You can't eat a stair carpet.
In other words, he was deviating from the subject of food onto the carpeting and the stair rods and everything else. Yeah. Right, Kenneth, I agree with your challenge, and you've cleverly got in with only 2 seconds to go. A good meal starting now.
Boiled beef and
carrots.
And
Clement Royd has challenged you. Clement, what is your challenge?
Hesitation, yes. Deviation from good taste.
I think you're determined to challenge him before he actually opened his mouth. I disagree, and you've got 1 second with another point, of course, on a good meal starting now.
Steak and kidney pie.
So Kenneth Williams got 2 or 3 points in that round, one just before the whistle and one as the whistle went, as he was trying to be bluffed out of it. And he has now taken the lead. And we now come to Eleanor Summerfield to begin the round. And Eleanor, the subject is parachuting. Eleanor, starting now.
This was a pastime which was invented really as an emergency for those magnificent men in their flying machines, because if anything nasty happened to their aircraft, they could eject themselves and float safely down to Earth. Now, however, it has become a sport too. In fact, quite a lot of people, an amazing number in my mind, take part in it purely for the thrill and excitement of jumping out of a great aircraft and sailing down.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, she did say aircraft twice.
Yes, she did.
Did I? I said flying machine.
Well, you said that as well.
Did I?
I don't know what you could have said, really, to avoid repeating.
Well, Peter, you have a correct challenge, and you have 24 seconds to talk on parachuting, starting now.
I remember asking a parachutist what he did if the parachute didn't open, and he said, pray like hell. I don't know what they do, really. I suppose they have emergency chutes, which they can open.
And Kenneth Williams' challenge.
Hesitation.
In fact, I thought he was nodding off, actually.
Well, I was identifying with the parachutist. Yeah. You'd hesitate if you were in that situation.
There are 9 seconds left for you, Kenneth, on parachuting, starting now.
I did it from a tower, and they shoved me off, and I landed and ripped my ankle, and I do not have fond memories of this pastime, I can assure you.
So Kenneth's getting in just before that whistle and gaining those extra points, and he's now in a very positive lead ahead of Peter Jones, followed by Clement Royd and then Eleanor Summerfield. And Kenneth, your turn to begin. Simon Bolivar, will you tell us something about that distinguished and brilliant man in just a minute, starting now?
Yes, well, he was a South American, born, in fact, in Caracas, but it's important to realize this, he went to Madrid for the education, do you see, and took a degree in law. Then he got mixed up with the French Revolution and became convinced that he should liberate all these people. And off he went to Peru, raised an army and all the rest of it. Well, Upper Peru was actually named after...
Clement Royd challenged.
A repetition of Peru.
Yes, I'm afraid.
Well, I mean, he did all his work there, dear. It was Upper Peru that was actually named after him and called Bolivia. You see, that say was that you might get in a Peru.
Kenneth, you might get in again.
I was
say the information.
I was about Bolivia.
Oh, righto. Will you have a go, mate?
And Clement, you have 33 seconds to have a go on Simon Bolivar, starting now.
Simon Bolivar's face is very often seen on cigar packets because, for some astonishing reason, large.
Right.
Hesitation.
A hesitation is right in 24 seconds on Simon Bolivar with you, Peter, starting now.
Well, it so happens, it's a coincidence, I came across his name when I was reading a book recently of famous last words, and I recall that he said something like, "Put my luggage on the frigate, I'm leaving today, they don't like us here." So he must have left South America prior to dying. I don't know quite what he did.
Kenneth Williams has checked.
Well, deviation, that's not true. He did not leave South America prior to dying. He died in Sucre from tuberculosis when he was 47.
On the boat?
He wasn't on the boat at all. He was on the land.
He was on a frigate. I remember it being a frigate.
You did actually say, Kenneth, I assumed from that. He didn't make the statement, but assumed it. I think he has the benefit of the doubt. And 3 seconds to continue on Simon Bolivar, starting now.
You can see his face on a coin in South America.
No. Eleanor got him before the buzzer.
He hesitated. In South America.
Yes, I think he did a bit, actually. Yes, you're quite right, Eleanor. Yes. Simon Bolivar, half a second, starting now.
Simon Bolivar.
So Eleanor got that extra point then. She's moving forward. She's still behind Clement Freud. Peter Jones and Kenneth Williams are both equal in the lead, and Peter starts the next round. The subject, Dallas, Texas. Would you tell us something about that subject, Peter, in just a minute, starting now?
Well, I'd be delighted to, because I've got 2 fans in Dallas, Texas, and they wrote to me a little while ago. I can't imagine really why, but they can listen to the World Service in Dallas, Texas. And if they ever come over
and
here...
And Clement, Kenneth Williams' challenge.
And,
Kenneth, the subject is Dallas, Texas. And you have 46 seconds starting now.
Well, it is in a famous lyric. In Dallas, Tex, they talk of sex but only think of oil. And it's, of course, the subject of this great soap opera, which has proved an enormous eye-catcher because the viewing figures are phenomenally high, even when you consider the incredible nature of those series. The plot line.
Clement Foyer's challenge.
Series? Repetition of...
21 seconds are left. Dallas, Texas, with you, Clement, starting now.
I'm awfully fond of that soap opera, and quite particularly of a woman called Afton, whom I don't see a lot now. She was Mitch's sister and was seduced, as most others are, by J.R. in his time, and then by Cliff, and later by someone whose name I cannot remember. But Dallas, Texas...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Repetition.
Of what?
Seduction.
Seducing these women while I'm down.
What we do there is give Peter Jones a bonus point for a delightful challenge. But is he? Clement didn't actually commit any of break any of the rules of just a minute. He keeps the subject with another point and 2 seconds left on Dallas, Texas, starting now.
Times are hard in Dallas, Texas.
So at the end of that round, Clement Freud has now caught up on Peter Jones and Kenneth Williams, and all 3 of them are equal in the lead. And Clement, it is your turn to begin. The subject, diction. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
If you have trouble with your diction, the most enormously useful people are speech therapists, who actually do great work and bring people who are lost to the world back into the sort of civilization and communication which everyone ought to enjoy. Unfortunately, they're paid extraordinarily little money, and there's not much incentive to pursue that valuable trade.
And Kenneth Williams' challenge.
Well, it was hesitation for a start, and for another thing, he wasn't talking about diction, he was talking about physiotherapists, as far as I can make out.
Kenneth, you have the subject, because it was a hesitation, and there are 36 seconds for you to tell us something about diction with your impeccable diction, I'm sure, starting now.
Well, the lines were set down for us by the great Shakespeare himself when he said, "Speak the speech, I pray you, as I pronounced it to you trippingly on the tongue. Now do not know that as some of your players do, I would as lief the town crier spoke my lines." I have the most extraordinary facility in that direction, and I got it really from listening carefully to Noel Coward reciting wonderful poetry on HMV 78 a long time ago, when I was just a blonde child. And, oh, I can remember it all so well.
Well, before Kenneth reminisced back into his childhood and deviated in the process, the whistle went, he gained that extra point, and he has now taken the lead again. And Eleanor Somerville, will you take the subject of fun? And there's a minute, as usual, starting now.
There is a subject.
And Eleanor Somerville, you challenge yourself. What were you challenging for? Hesitation? You're absolutely right. I give you another point.
Oh!
Well done. You definitely hesitated then. You've 2 seconds, actually, before you started. So you've got 58 seconds. You keep the subject. Fun. I can't do it again for you, though. Starting now.
Fun is, to one man, enormously enjoyable. To another, it will be horrendous. Some get a great deal of fun out of weird things like potholing and mountaineering and parachuting, but I would find these totally anathema. Fun to me is meeting people who are amusing, whose conversation is extremely enjoyable. And also one's idea of fun changes as you grow older. No longer do I like bouncing a ball or skipping with a rope, and not many grown-up men enjoy playing with conkers. Though I do believe that they have other similar pastimes, which they get a great deal of fun. What am I saying? But I have a great deal of fun at the moment in a new occupation.
Well, Eleanor Somerville started with the subject, interrupted herself and got an extra point. Kenneth, will you talk on the subject of waiting for the whistle? And there are 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
Well, there was a whistle that used to be blown for us to go on parade in Singapore, and I absolutely hated even bothering, you know, to go on these dreadful parades. I couldn't stand it. I've said that twice. How amazing, isn't it? No, this challenge. Well, it's too late.
Clement Boyd challenge.
Deviation.
What from?
From waiting for the whistle.
That's right. Clement has another point and the subject and 45 seconds on waiting for the whistle, starting now.
In this game, the very best thing to do when waiting for the whistle is to go into automatic pilot. Oh, that we now had here but 1/10,000 of those men in England who do no work today. What's he that wishes so, my cousin Westmore? Nay, my fair cuz, not one more. Rather proclaim it throughout my land that he who has no courage to this fight. And that is the sort of way in which one proceeds. And now 21 seconds to go.
And Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Well, yes, I mean, what he said, there's now 21 seconds to go. And wasn't
Could you make yourself intelligible, Kenneth?
Yes, he deviated from the subject.
Well,
he said there are now 21 seconds to go, which is not talking about the whistle.
It's a very difficult thing on which to judge, but the one thing on which you challenged was absolutely concerned with waiting for the whistle, 21 seconds to go. So I have to be fair to Clement and tell him he has 17 seconds to continue waiting for the whistle, starting now.
A squirrel is a rat with good public relations. That's the sort of phrase which would take up a modicum of time and get the whistle.
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Well, it's deviation because the squirrels has no good relations with anybody. Everyone loathes them. They're dreadful things. And they call... Shut your row up. They cause endless trouble to the trees because they eat the bark.
Peter, what are you challenging him for going on? So yes, he's talking absolute rubbish.
He was deviating.
He's deviating.
Yes, I agree. Yes, so, Kenneth, on this occasion, I give you the benefit of the doubt, Kenneth, and tell you that you have 8 seconds on waiting for the whistle, starting now.
I never actually wait for the whistle. You'd be amazed, because I fill my head with other things, and in that way, the tedium isn't obvious.
So Kenneth is cleverly getting in just before the whistle, and he is increasing his lead. And Peter Jones, you take the next round. Selling the car. Will you tell us something about that traumatic experience in just a minute, starting now?
Well, it seems to me that whenever you try to sell your car in order to buy a new one, the person who wants to purchase it or comes to look at it doesn't like it. They kick the wheels and say the tyres are in a shocking state. The wheels.
And in the Summerfield.
Are we allowed a VR?
No, is a definite hesitation.
That's why I never win.
He actually gives himself away. He doesn't pause for breath. He just says definitely and yes, you know he's paused. Yes, and Eleanor, you got in first, and 45 seconds are left on selling the car, starting now.
It's something that I haven't done for a very long time. I'm still using the same machine that I've had for about 5 years. But someday I shall have to start selling the car. And when I do, I suppose the thing to do would be to have it cleaned properly and serviced properly.
Clement Freud is challenged. Selling the car, Clement, 27 seconds are left, starting now.
Peter Jones is the sort of man to whom I would sell a car. I think he looks an admirably nice chap who wouldn't examine too carefully whether the wheels were on or off, what sort of state the bodywork found itself in. And generally, going to that gentleman with whom I've played this game for some 20 years, I think I would find a purchaser for an automobile beyond comparison.
Ah, no, Peter Jones challenged just before the whistle. Peter,
there was a slight hesitation just before he got to the end.
Yeah, I thought there was a slight hesitation before he got to the end. I think he thought the whistle was going, and he was waiting for it. So with half a second
could
to go...
Could we stop Messiter from putting the whistle in his mouth long before he blows?
I hadn't thought of that. Yes, I must explain to my listeners. Visually, of course, they can see Ian Messiter putting the whistle in his mouth about 3 or 4 seconds before the time-up, and Clement thought it was about to happen. And it didn't, so Peter Jones got in very cleverly, and there's half a second on selling the car, Peter, starting now.
Advertise. That's the thing.
So it is a close-fought contest this week, and Kenneth Williams is just in the lead, one ahead of Clement Freud, who's one ahead of Peter Jones, who's one ahead of Eleanor Summerfield. And Clement, this could be the last round, I don't know. Clement, it's your turn, and the subject is common sense. Will you tell us something about that? A man, I'm sure, of profound common sense. Will you talk on it, starting now?
Common sense is the sort of quality manifested by people who do not go on holiday to Benidorm. I think... common sense.
Eleanor Summerfield.
I'd like Eleanor Summerfield.
Eleanor, you came in with 51 seconds to go, and you now take up the subject of common sense, starting now.
Common sense, sometimes known as nous, I don't quite know which language that belongs to, but common sense is something that you should really have gained from experience. You have learned when you were very young that to put your fingers into the fire will burn them, so you do not do so in future. You have gained a tiny bit of common sense. If you are cold, you put on more clothes. If you are hot, you remove them.
And Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Well, it's a long lot of yous. You yes, do this, you do that, you do the other.
Well,
endless yous, wasn't it?
If you are hot and if you are cold. A repetition of three words there. So, Kenneth, you've got him with 22 seconds to go on. Common sense starting now.
Common sense indicates that a man like Simon Bolivar selling a car and being told your big end's gone would immediately remonstrate.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Cars weren't invented before he died. On it's, this frigate.
I think that Kenneth was just giving a sort of fantasy idea. He did actually say if you were to
He was talking absolute rubbish.
Yes.
With wonderful, wonderful diction, but rubbish.
Yes. And who have I ever penalised for speaking rubbish on Just a Minute? So I think I have to give him the benefit of the doubt and tell Kenneth you have 12 seconds on common sense, starting now.
Well, if a child is asked what is the capital of Antigua, and he says about Tumsaitany, that is common sense, because the child is you...
Clement Foy, challenge.
Repetition of child.
Yeah, I'm afraid he did repeat child before. So, Clement, you got in with 1 second to go on common sense, starting now.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Right. Well, I did warn you that this would be, probably be the last round. It was, in fact, the last round. And let me now give you the final situation. Eleanor Summerfield, our guest, who has only played it once before, and that was a long time ago, came back, gave valuable contribution, finished in fourth place, but only 1 point behind the witty and delightful Peter Jones, who was only 2 points behind the erudite and delightful Clement Freud, and he was 1 point behind this week's winner, that man of style, distinction, and diction, Kenneth Williams! The man who said so often, I never win this game. In fact, I don't want to win this game. But he does win on occasions, and he won. He won, and he won in style today. We do hope you've enjoyed listening to Just a Minute. It only remains for me to say, on behalf of the inventor of the game, Ian Messiter, and our producer, Ted Taylor, and me, Nicholas Parsons, thank you for being with us, and we hope you will want to tune in again when we take to the air and play Just a Minute. Goodbye, until then.